What is going on, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Dusty Dimes podcast. I am your host, TJ Plogger, with my co-host, Alan Peters. What is up, Alan?
Dun, dun, dun. Guess who's back? Back again.
What's going on, man?
I'm doing all right. I can't complain. Today is day one of 8 vacation days.
Really?
Yes. I've got a quite the escapade coming up in the next few days. I have a cold beer to my right. I've got my favorite Monday night program in front of me on my television. I'm not really doing too bad. Not really doing bad at all.
It sounds good. You going anywhere special? I know you like to go away when you have vacation days.
Oh, go away. I'm basically, man, not to boast or brag or nothing like that, but I'm going to do 8 concerts in 5 days.
Shut up. Really?
8 concerts in 5 days. So today is a Monday night. On Tuesday night, which would be the following day, aka tomorrow evening, I'm going to see John Mayer in New York City.
You going by yourself?
Yeah, I'm going by myself. Oh, I only go by myself to see John Mayer, not because I'm a weirdo, but because all girls attend John Mayer concerts. And when all girls attend John Mayer concerts and Alan's by himself, I say those odds are pretty damn good. On Thursday, I will be flying at the Rooster of Dawn clear across the country to attend a music festival on the grounds where they have Coachella annually. And before that, I'm going to go see Sting from the Police in California. Now, the following day, we'll start this legendary music festival. It's called Power Trip. Power Trip consists of 6 of the greatest heavy metal acts of the 80s. So Friday will start as such, Iron Maiden and Guns N' Roses. Saturday will be Judas Priest and AC/DC. And then Sunday will be Tool and Metallica.
Does Eric know about Metallica?
I did not tell Eric about Metallica, but I did tell him I'm going to a music festival. And actually, it is his birthday, so maybe I'll get him a birthday gift.
You have to. You give him a birthday gift, a Metallica shirt. I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. That's great that you've informed me of this.
Yeah. That's it? That's the last concert, or is there more?
Well, there's more after that, but it's not until the following week. So by then, I'll already be back to work full time, and the vacation will technically be over.
Gotcha. But I talked to you earlier. This is kind of like a part 2 episode here of over-involved parents. Mm-hmm. You know, I had one a couple years ago, and it's just been stuff that I've seen around the rink, and you know, looking online and people telling me, and you know, it's just, to me, it's getting a little redundant and a little ridiculous about parents being involved, you know what I mean, in sport. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't as bad when you played, or, you know, even when I played, but, you know, these days it's just, it's getting ridiculous where, you know, I had a buddy of mine I went to high school with, you know, grew up with him, and, you know, he's coaching soccer now, and he hit me up and told me that he had to step aside. This is soccer. You know what I mean? This is high school soccer that he had to step away because of, you know, the parents getting involved. You know what I mean?
And he's a high school level coach.
Yeah, that's high school, dude. You know what I mean? And that's older kids that these parents need to realize, you know,
borderline grown adults.
Yeah, they're little people. You know what I mean? Like little adults.
They're coming into their own.
Yeah, so I mean, they need to realize that, you know, whatever the coach says, it goes, and that's in any sport. You know what I mean? And it's these days that we live in, there's no security with coaches. None. You know, there's no job security. There really isn't. I mean, I will say, if you're getting paid, to coach, you know, like juniors and high level AAA and stuff like that. I will say that there is a little bit of job security there because you're getting paid. But I mean, if you're a volunteer and you're taking time out of your time to coach, then let the coach coach. You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree. I mean, it's almost like an overprivilege. And the wild thing too is that most high school coaches get a stipend. So they're technically getting paid not as much as a higher leveled coach would be in especially particularly different sports, but high school coaches are paid stipends. So that coach is still getting an extra benefit, bonus, whatever you want to call it, to stay after, use his time that he could be with his family doing whatever she needs to be doing, your friend in particular. And he's taking the time out of his day, even though he is making a little bonus, he's taking the time out of his day to teach these kids, to make them better, you know, to teach them life lessons as well as their athletic, you know, fulfilling their athletic goals and dreams.
No, absolutely. And you touched on it there is, you know, you have these coaches, you know, like myself, you know what I mean? Like
you're a coach. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Like, you know, when I coached 18s, you know what I mean? For the last 12, 13 years, when I coach 18s, like I don't have a kid. I don't have a kid on the team. I don't have a horse in the race. You know what I mean? So these parents need to understand and realize this. And like you said, like you touched on it is, you know, they're taking time out of their day. They go to work for 8 hours. They come home, eat dinner, then they go right back out. It's like a second job to them. You know what I mean?
Oh, I get it.
So it's just a bad situation all around. You know what I mean? And we'll touch back on this, but Alan, I got Brian. Brian's a good friend of mine. He was assistant coach of mine. What's up, Brian?
What's up, TJ? How are you?
Good. Brian, meet Alan. Alan, meet Brian.
What's good, bro?
Hey. Not much, Alan. How are you?
Another day in paradise.
Alan is a Alan is a very, very close family friend on Adrian's side.
Oh, okay.
Very good. Yeah, he grew up playing hockey with Adrian and her brothers.
Awesome.
So, but we were talking about, you know, obviously I'll fill you and I text you about it is, you know, the over-involved parents. And we were just touching on, you know, how, you know, some coaches don't have job security with the volunteer status. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, from my standpoint, like I said, like from coaching in New Jersey, when I lived in New Jersey is, you know, AA, I coach AA hockey, but in New Jersey, for people that listen to podcasts in Pennsylvania don't know, is you get paid to coach in New Jersey. So when I moved to Pennsylvania, that was, you know, to coach midgets, you don't get paid. So that kind of was I wouldn't say a culture shock, but it was an eye-opening experience because, you know, you're putting all that time in, you know, you're volunteering, and you get it, but you don't get paid. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely. And you have to put in your own travel costs and all that stuff too. So, you know, that's another expense as well.
Yeah. So, you know, when I lived in New Jersey and then when I started coaching in New Jersey, and I had a very, very good support system in Doug Lubner and Mike Murphy, and, you know, they told me, you know, they were hockey families. I've coached their kids. Adrian, you know, suited both of, you know, Doug Lubner's kids with equipment growing up and played against sports. And, you know, they told me, like, TJ, like, this is your team. This is what you're doing. It's your show. You know what I mean? Which was good because I got paid for it and it felt like a job. And, you know, they weren't, you know, micromanaging everything I did. You know what I mean? So when you're coaching at that level and you're getting paid, it's you take it serious and it's a job. I'm not saying that volunteer coaches don't take it serious. Don't get me wrong, they do, but it's you got to worry about what's outside the rink. You know what I mean? You got to worry about parents, you know, saying, oh, you know, why they should do this, they should do that. You know, why isn't he on the power play? Why isn't he on the penalty kill? You know what I mean? And that's where, you know, they need to draw the line there when it comes to the volunteer side. You know what I mean? Let the coaches coach. You know, so when the coaches are coaching, they don't need, I don't want to use a name like, you know, Exhibit A saying, you know, oh, he needs to be on the power play. Why isn't he on the power play? Well, A, because, you know, he doesn't have the same skill level as Exhibit C. So Exhibit C is going to be in the power play over Exhibit A. You guys follow me?
Yeah.
Yep.
So when the coaches are doing their thing throughout the season from training camp to the end of the season, again, and I don't mean to be an asshole when I say this at all, let the coaches do their job. You know what I mean? You guys, again, you guys are paying for your kid to play, obviously. You know what I mean? But, you know, Brian and I have been saying it for the last 2 years, and, you know, you're playing midget hockey. You know what I mean? Even when you're at 12U hockey, you know what I mean? There's times where I see kids that don't touch the ice at 12U hockey because of, you know, it's crunch time, and the coaches tell them, like, hey, you know, when it's a close game, you know what I mean? Like, Johnny might not touch the ice in a close game. You know what I mean? And parents need to understand that. And they don't – it's not because you're getting a uniform. It's not because you're getting a pair of gloves. It's not because you're getting a pair of socks. It's the fact that these kids need to understand responsibility and the hard work it takes in practice and games. So, again – I'm not trying to, you know, throw anybody, you know, parents under the bus or anything, or not trying to be an asshole, but it's a God's honest truth. I'm seeing it time and time again at every age level, you know, from, you know, 10U all the way up to, you know, like my friend coaching soccer, you know, high school soccer, you know, and go ahead. Who's saying something?
There's a point where the parents have an opinion, but then there's also the same token that the opinion doesn't matter because the parents aren't in charge. You know, they can only go so far in the sense of getting the kid there, having the kid be present, having the kid play at the potential best of their level. But ultimately, at the end of the day, that's where it stops because then someone else is there paid to be in charge, to take over, to be the leader per se. So that's in my opinion, that's a big fuzzy area for parents. They don't know when too much is enough and they don't know when to quit. Do you know what I'm saying by that?
No, I agree totally. I agree. And I'll touch on that is, you know, it's again, input's fine. It's totally fine. You know what I mean? But when you're overstepping your boundaries and, you know, worrying about what the coach is saying to the kids or worrying about, you know, how they're practicing, how hard they're practicing and worrying about, again, where kids are at in the lineup. You know what I mean? It's this era. You know what I mean? Like, and Brian and I have said it before, like growing up when we played, it's totally different. You know what I mean? The era to this day is too many people have their hands in the cookie jar.
Well, and a couple of things if I could share, you know, in my personal experience with Seb, you know, he was lucky enough to have, you know, a pretty much a consistent same head coach, you know, mm-hmm. for 6, 7, 8 years of his hockey career.
Yeah.
So, you know, the very first time, you know, they're little 8U mites, you know, and of course at that age, every kid's going to play, you know, you're not. And, And but as they get older, you know, and this is what makes it harder, I think, for volunteer coaches versus paid coaches. Paid coaches, they're the end all be all.
Mm-hmm.
Who sends emails, who gives phone calls, you know, who's pissed off. They're the be all. Where volunteer coaches have to walk that fine line, I think, you know, of being able to say, hey, well, you know, I'm going to put my team in the best position to win when it comes down to crunch time. 3 minutes left and we're on a power play or a PK, you know, we're up by one goal, you know. So setting that expectation is important. And I think when it comes to paying to play, that's the aspect that makes it very difficult. You know, like if Seb ends up playing in college, you know, more than likely, it's going to be ACHA. I'm going to have to pay, you know, something for him to play. Yeah. Even at D1, ACHA, you still have to pay. But, you know, if he ain't performing or isn't putting in the work that's required and that the coach is asking for, who am I to say something? You know, yeah. I mean, yeah, I know his potential, but I also know that he can slack off now and again. Mm-hmm. And if that's going to, you know, determine whether he gets special teams play or whether he's a third liner, a fourth liner, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's out of my hands, you know? And I think like at those younger ages, you know, the parents playing, paying for it, they think, well, it should be a fair shot for everybody. But, you know, as you get into those old, it just naturally changes, you know, especially at the midget level because of the drastic levels of talent that you have on any given team. You know, I mean, we just got back from a 5-game set in Jersey. And even some of those, you know, we played four out of the five teams were New York, New Jersey. New York, Long Island. And even on those teams, you know, you have three or four guys that are pretty damn good. And then you got the rest of the team and you're like, oof. Very fine line and a difficult one, I think, like you were saying, you know, for volunteer coaches to have to walk and kind of appease everybody, you know, to a certain degree and that sort of thing, you know.
But I mean, again, and to touch on that, Brian, is, you know what I mean? If
at all different age groups. So I'm just going.
Brian, are you walking around? Al, can you hear him?
Yeah, well, no, that's all right. But I feel,
you know, it was like.
Brian, are you walking around?
There he is. I feel like he has a point, though, too, because, you know, with the volunteer aspect, I mean, it's a fine line, like you stated, like Brian said, because, you know, you still have a job to do, though. However, I feel like I feel like it shouldn't even matter if you're volunteer or you're paid because you're still the coach of the team. Like parents need to understand. They just don't understand. I mean, I feel like a Will Smith song. No, for real, it's like that person's the coach. That person's the assigned leader.
Exactly.
Whether that leader is paid or volunteer or is borrowed, which makes no sense, but I'm just, you know, using it as figurative speech. It's that person's the one in charge. That person's going to make the decision. That person is the coach for a reason. You know, Timmy's dad is not the coach because Timmy's dad probably has no idea how to play soccer, let alone probably have the time to take out of his busy office day to teach his kids how to play soccer. You know what I'm saying? Figurative.
I agree totally. And I saw this. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Alan, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I saw this TJ quote that said, parents, don't build your happiness.
I don't hear him.
Don't build your happiness around your kids. Kids' athletic performance. If you get in a bad mood because they played bad, take a break from the game. Your kid needs to have tough performances to learn, not have great performance to make you feel good.
I agree. I mean, it's one of those situations where paid or not, you know, you have to yeah. let the coach do their job.
And there's,
because that's what the coach is there for.
No, absolutely. And you know, I've seen time and time again that, you know, it's always that group of parents. Brian, I can hear you, but try to disconnect and connect again. There's always a group of parents that try and try again to weasel their way into the coach's good graces when they know their kids aren't at the level of other kids. Does that make sense to you?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So I like, if your kid, like Brian said, if your kid's not putting in the work at all, don't think that your kid belongs at top line minutes. Don't think your kid belongs on the power play with Johnny and Susie. You know what I mean? So you again, volunteer coaches, and a touch on what you said, Alan, again, is yeah, they're volunteer and they're taking their time out of their, you know, home life. Maybe they have kids playing soccer or tennis in the town over and they're missing that because they love the game and they love the coach. You know what I mean? So don't impact, you know, your jealousy of having, you know, the coach teach your kids responsibility about life skills on and off the ice, or responsibility on and off the ice, or working your kids on and off the ice, you know, busting their ass to get them to the next level. You know what I mean? And I've, you know, coached going on 13 years now. You know what I mean? I've coached all the way from squirt all the way up to junior. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you, and Alan, you know me, Brian, you know me, and you know, am I hard on the kids? Absolutely. You know what I mean? Do I want to be a dick? Absolutely not. You know what I mean? It's just, I want to be hard on these kids to help them take it to the next level. You know what I mean? I have, you know, kids like Tucker, Keyshawn, Tristan, Mike Linner, like, you know, Brownie, kids from Jersey, DJ Lubner. I still talk to kids that I've coached 12 years ago, thanking me for what I did to help them on the ice and to get ready for the real world. You know what I mean? And that's where parents, hold on, Brian. And that's where parents need to sit back and relax and let the coaches coach. Let the coaches, you know, run their systems and their drills and their activities with the kids, and you know, let them bond together. You know what I mean? Not because of, you know, your personal differences of what you had the year before or the year before that with other people around the rink. Don't let that impact, you know, the coach's decisions of the year or the next year after that. It's again, you guys are paying your money again to let your kids play. And I told Brian this. Brian was with me last year, and I told the parents last year, like I told him this year, like you got to treat this like a job. I tell this to Lanny too. I tell this to Lanny's, you know, 12-year team. Everyone's got a job on this team. Everyone. If you don't perform at your job, what's going to happen? You think you're going to get first line minutes? Absolutely not. You know what I mean? You're gonna sit there and bust your ass the next shift to get that shift again and that shift again and that shift again, even at practice. So go ahead, Brian. What were you saying?
Yeah, no, I was just, I lost you guys for a few minutes there, so I couldn't.
Yeah, hear you. Yeah, yeah. You were, but you were rambling on. We could hear you.
Oh, yeah, that was weird. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, right. But no, the only thing I was going to add was, you know, this extends beyond sports, right? I mean,
yes,
this goes
absolutely.
To academics. This goes to, you know, employers. This goes well above and beyond that. And it's the same thing. If you don't put in the work in college and get C's, well, guess what? You go to get that job, they're going to say, oh, well, yeah, you got a degree, but it didn't look like you did your best, you know, mm-hmm. or you didn't really put in that extra effort when, you know, it was needed to get to that next level. So, you know, it goes well beyond ice time, you know,
absolutely
playing time, any of that stuff. Yeah. And that's where.
And to touch on that, Brian, and you and I said it before.
I think kids are missing that today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because of that type of stuff. They're not getting that opportunity to. Like I tell somebody all the time, listen, dude, you're the one that's practicing. You're doing the work on the ice, not me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't care who your coach is. If they don't feel you're putting it in, it's going to be consequences for you, and I don't want to hear you crying about it. Yeah. Sorry.
No, absolutely.
Like, you know.
And that and you know, you and I got along. We get along now, and we're really close, and you're the type of parent that every parent should be, because you said it time and time again is, you know, like you just said, if Sebby's not putting in the work, you know what I mean? He's going to sit. You know what I mean? It's and to go back to what you said about college and academics and work is like, what's going to happen with these kids these days when their moms and dads are fighting their battles with the coaches and the team directors? Like, when they get in the real world, they can't call their mom and dad and say, hey, you know, I got fired. What are they going to do? Go to their boss? They're going to go to their teacher? They're going to go to their college coach? You know what I mean? There's college coaches out there that are assholes. Like, but they're very successful. There's also college coaches that are very nice and successful. But when they're nice, they're going to be the same way. They're getting paid at a college. You know what I mean? And like, it baffles me. It really baffles me that so many people are getting involved at any sport these days. And I see it, and you see it on Facebook, you see it on Instagram, you see it on all social media. Like, again, there's a thing where I posted a clip of, I forget where it was. I think I sent it to you, Brian, is the referees locked in the room. I think it was.
Oh, yeah. The guy was blocking the door.
Yeah.
In the chair. The
yeah.
Ref
yeah.
Was
I think
sitting against.
Yeah.
The door.
He was sitting against the door.
Calling the cops.
Called the cops because the parents were so pissed off at
the
refs.
Break the door
to come after the refs. Like, guys, like, again, you know, there was an incident.
Now reiterate on that. Was the referee blocking the door?
Yes.
Or was the referee in the locker room?
The referee was
in the ref room.
He was in the official room against.
And
the
parents were blocking the door. No.
The referee.
They were trying to get in.
They were trying to get into the ref room.
Wow.
Yeah.
They were that passionate.
Oh, they were.
Yeah, excuse me.
Loud and shouting.
Oh yeah.
And he would. I think the guy.
He was nervous. He was blocking himself in. He was blocking himself in.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he, like I said, he called the cops and he said, the parents are outside the door threatening me and I'm not going to be able to get to the parking lot to get out of here.
The cops are probably like, this guy is high. This guy is high. What's going on here?
Yeah. No, well, he's like, you know, we didn't get to finish the game. I'm not going back out there. You know, this is a nightmare.
Well, I
wish I knew what age that was, but, you know. I've seen it with Sebby reffing, you know, at a young age and reffing 8U games. And he's throwing parents out, you know, when he was 12, 13 years old as a little guy reffing. And, you know, I'm like, what is going on here? You're calling a 12U ref names.
Well, it's funny because the touch on that, 2 weeks ago, we played Exton at our home rink, the 12U, right? And there was a play in the corner, one of our kids, you know, collided with another kid. It wasn't a penalty. You know, I'll be the first one to tell you if it's a penalty or not a penalty. And one of the dads is flipping out like crazy for Exton, right? And we had Murray, you know, Murray.
Oh yeah.
So Murray throws him out, right? Mind you, when all this is going on, this coach is yelling at the top of his lungs. What do you think the kid's doing? The kids are joking around on the ice. You know what I mean? While the parents are getting thrown out, the kids are having a, you know, joking around, talking, bullshitting. You know, they're playing a game against each other and they see this. And, you know, when a parent acts like that and the kids start acting like that, that's another issue, man, because they think it's okay.
Yeah. That's
like the guy.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
And this guy was yelling for no reason, like thinking like, you know, our kids are dirty. Like, by far, we're not dirty at all. Like, our kids are not dirty. They play the game hard. Yes. Are they dirty? Absolutely not. You know what I mean? Because of the coaching staff that we have with myself Steve, the head coach, and Jared, the other assistant, like we teach these kids, you know, yeah, it's okay to work hard. It's okay to bust your ass and work hard. But if you play that cheap style of play, guess what? You're sitting, and the parents on the team know that. They know this. And that's a 12U. You know what I mean? Where I find it very, very funny that 12U parents understand the logic of hard work. You know what I mean? Hard work and what it takes at this level, at our level, compared to the 18U level at some teams. You know what I mean? So some of these parents at 18U level, like it's really redundant and ridiculous. It really is. And, you know, I will touch on this is, you know, when I coached back way back, you know what I mean, from my time in Jersey up to juniors and everything. And one thing I've noticed too, and even at the 12U level, it's not really that bad, but older levels I see now, and I was talking to one of my buddies up in Wilkes-Barre, and he sees it too. And I asked him is like, I've noticed that parents are starting to watch, you know, watch every move kids are making these days, you know, during practice and off ice and stuff like that. And I've never in my life have I seen a coached and had a parent watch practice the whole hour and a half or hour. And that's a little ridiculous to me to, you know, be under the microscope per se is, you know, do I go to your job or place of employment and watch every little move that you do? That doesn't mean you need to come and watch every little move that I do. You know what I mean? Coaching. There's a reason why I'm coaching your kids. There's a reason why I passed all my background checks. There's a reason why all my clearances are done.
There's a reason why that they're not coaching.
Exactly. Exactly. You said it. Thank you.
You got it, bro. You got it, bro.
Yeah. So it really comes down to that. And it's just that when I asked my buddy that, he said there's a couple times where he stopped by the rink because he scouts, you know, midget kids for, you know, juniors and stuff like that. And he's telling me this and it's like, you know, he stands there and they know who he is and they'll come up to him and say, you know, what do you think of my kid? Oh, what do you think of that kid? Like, and my buddy, he's very honest and frank, just like one of us would be, and tells him like, yeah, your kid's lazy. Oh, your kid doesn't move his feet. Your kid doesn't pass. Your kid's selfish. You know what I mean? So it's like, do you really want to sit there and watch practice and get the opinion of somebody else of your kid? And you're going to take it, you know, smoothly, or you're going to take it with a grain of salt, like a grain of salt, or are you going to be pissed off?
Pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I mean, for starters, I'm not Frank, I'm Alan, but I mean, I get it.
So,
well, you know, this whole subject is the proof in the pudding is every single rink I've been in, probably, I don't know, the last since COVID, before COVID, so maybe 2018, 2019, they have to put up signs in the rinks of an empty chair in the parking lot that says, you know, if you shout at the refs or back talk to players or anything, this is where you're going to be watching the game, you know, meaning you're going to get kicked out. So well, what is that? What does that statement tell you that they have to even put signs like that up in rinks nowadays?
Exactly. And we saw that up at Penn State. Remember, Brian? Like that's at a D1 college rink.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's everywhere. We had an incident at a game this weekend too, where two parents got tossed out, you know, calling refs jerk offs and Long Island? Yelling. No, it was actually, oh God.
Sounds like Jersey to me.
No, we didn't play any Jersey teams this weekend. So no, it was, Long Island Mustangs. That's what it was. The Long Island Mustangs. And this dad was walking the railing the entire game back and forth, just yelling down to the boys
over ice.
And then
ice
another
palace?
Dad, what's that?
At Ice Palace?
Ice Palace. Yeah. Ice Palace. Yeah. So you know how you stand above the rink. Yeah. And he's just walking back and forth, yelling. There was one guy yelled down and accused one of our players of using a racial slur, which, number one, on the bench, I can barely hear, if at all, what the kids are saying to each other on the ice.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the hell this miracle ear guy was able to hear something up there.
Yeah.
Which turned out not to be true anyways. That was never done. Even the ref said, nobody said anything. I don't know what the guy was talking about. But they ended up kicking out, you know, two of the parents. And again, and it got so bad that the kids from the Long Island Mustangs, like, skated over to the glass right below that over top seating and were like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is embarrassing. Yeah. What are you doing? You know, so, yeah, it happens all the time, obviously, still at this age, younger age. It's just, I don't ever remember as a player, as a kid. I think maybe one time I kicked a guy out of a soccer game when I was reffing.
Yeah.
But I just don't remember it being like that.
No, I, and even,
you know, like the,
even growing up,
wasn't that.
Even growing up, I don't remember any of that shit. You know what I mean? Like my dad, like my dad was hard on me. You know what I mean? It is what it is. And, you know, looking back, you know what I mean? With sports and life, like, yeah, I'm glad he was hard on me. You know what I mean? Like with life skills.
It wasn't hard because he hated you.
No, he was hard because he was hard because he knew I was passionate about sports and he knew I was good and he wanted me to be the best. And, you know, that's what still in my kids, you know what I mean? Like with Braden in soccer, like Braden, like I'm very hard on Braden. Like I played soccer growing up. I played hockey growing up. Like, so the two sports that my kids are playing right now, like I'm very passionate for, like I help coach Braden in soccer. I help coach Landon in hockey. You know what I mean? So am I hard on my kid? Absolutely. You know what I mean? But there's a point, and this is another subject that we can touch on here, is it's a parent issue. So another topic I want to say is, like, is it okay to be hard on your kid? Absolutely. Absolutely. To a point. You know what I mean? Like, it's – you can be hard on your kids and want them to be great at what they do. You know what I mean? But you can't cross the line and expect your kid to do something that he's not able to perform every game. You know what I mean? Like, you know, putting up 3 or 4 points every game. It's not going to happen. It's not. You know what I mean? Because if it was at the level they're playing right now, they would be up in Canada right now. You know
Gretzky
what I mean?
Did right. It. No, right. You're right, though.
You know what I mean?
They'd be getting looked at, scouted, recruited, whole nine yards.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they would be. It's
– Well, in the end result of that, you know, is they're not going to like playing. You know, they're not exactly.
It's going to sour
they're
them.
They're going to hate it.
Yeah,
exactly. I've seen tons of kids that just don't want to play. I mean, TJ, we had a kid last year. You can tell he just didn't want to be there.
Oh,
parents wanted him to be there.
100%.
He didn't give didn't give two shits about playing. Like, I'll just sit on the bench. I don't care if I go out on the ice.
I've seen it with music, man. I have a cousin of mine who's a college-trained classical singer. And when he was a kid, my uncle wanted him to play the piano. So he goes and buys him a baby grand piano. And he would force him to play the piano. Guess what my cousin does not do now?
Play that piano.
Yeah. Play that piano. That piano sits in a house, in my uncle's house, untouched.
To go back on that, like, is the whole issue with, you know, wanting your kid to do great during the games. Absolutely. Like, you want them to do great during the games. You know, if they put up, you know, 2 points in a game, that's fine. But to be successful in hockey, I say this all the time with Adrian. You know what I mean? Like, we tell Landon, like, Landon, if you don't score a point, that's fine. As long as you put in the effort. You know what I mean? If you bust your ass all game and you don't put up a point, that's fine. And your team wins, that's fine. I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's not always about the points.
No, not
you
all.
You can make plays. You can make 20 plays and not have a single point.
You can make, 20 you know, plays.
There's
so
many intangibles.
You can back check your ass off all game and stick lift guys and steal the puck and make good passes.
Assists.
Make defensive plays. And you know what I mean? And get shots on goal. You know what I mean? It's not all about the points. So, I mean, I just want the parents and the kids that are listening to understand, like, guys, it's not all about the points. It's about how the F in day in and day out at practice and in games. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If your kid doesn't put up a game, like a point or two or whatever for 3 or 4 or 5 games, that's fine. They're going to break out of it. They really are. You know what I mean? Like, look, for example, like Lanny. Lanny went, I think, 2 or 3 games without a point, which is like, you know, for him, again, he's a goal scorer, blah, 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 right? The last 3 games, he's put up 10 goals in 3 games. You know what I mean? And it's, am I happy? Absolutely. I'm happy. I'm glad he's out of that streak, because he was just he was snake bitten for 3 games, 2 or 3 games. You know what
I
mean?
He was in a slump.
He was in a slump. Absolutely. There's kids.
Oh, that happens to the pros.
It happens. Yeah. It happens. Yeah. It happens to college kids. It happens to 18U kids. It happens to 10U kids. It happens to 12 pro guys do it. So,
yeah,
parents got to understand that if your kids aren't doing that, you know what I mean? Don't be pissed off. And also, you know what I mean? Don't sit there and say, you know, hey, Johnny's putting up 4 or 5 points a game. I want you to be like him and do this. No. The one thing that I've noticed in sports, and I have never brought this up, and I should have, is
comparing kids.
You don't, guys. You don't compare kids, because again, every kid on the team has a job. Every kid on that team has a different skill set than the other kid. Every kid on that team has a different kid. Okay, every kid on that team has a different reason why they're playing. Like, there could be kids on that team that, you know, like my kid. If you listen to the podcast and we had him on before, we interviewed him, he wants to be better than Wayne Gretzky, by all means. Like, that's his goal, by all means. If he wants to do that, that's fine. But there's other kids on the team that are playing, you know what I mean, in any age group. That's from, you know, 8U all the way up to college or 18s. Like you said, Brian, like there's kids on the team that their mom and dads are making them play. You know what I mean? So you can't sit there and have that kid that when the moms and dads are making a kid play, you can't be better than Jason. You know what I mean? You can't compare him to Jason. You can't do it. You know what I mean? Because you're gonna discourage your kids in one way. You're gonna discourage your kids from liking their teammates. You're gonna discourage kids from, you know, cheering for their other teammates when they score. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get that animosity on that team that you guys don't want to have. Like, you guys are one group. You're one team.
Wow. And this is it. It's not golf.
It's not. You're the
one to blame.
Yeah. You're a team, man. Like, everybody scores on that
together,
team.
Win together, lose together.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody scores. Yeah. Everybody wins. Everybody loses. When you get scored on, who gives a shit? Who cares? All of you guys are at fault. All of you guys. Yep. Not just the 5 on the ice and the goalie. It's everybody. You know what I mean? So we as parents in this society that we live in, we have to stop with the bullshit with the coaches. We have to stop the bullshit with comparing kids. We have to have the expectations of our kids be lowered, because, again, like you can't expect your kid to put up 5 to 6 goals a game. It's not going to happen. Again, if they were, then get them the fuck out of Pennsylvania and go to Canada. Because that's where they belong to play if they're putting up 5 goals a game. Or if you want to. You know what I mean?
Yes. Good luck with that.
Or at least the more advanced program. At least program.
Yeah, an advanced pro. Like, by all means. You know what I mean? Like, it's just – I want these – I don't know, man. It's – as a coach and as a parent, like, I just want parents to realize, like, what – the time of a coach is put in. Like, Brian, you saw it, you know what I mean, with last year and this year, you see it. The time you put in, you know what I mean? Like, it's a long time, man. Like, again, like, you put in a lot of work, a lot of miles, a lot of heart and soul into these kids to have parents rip it away from you because of their insecurities of you teaching their kids right from wrong.
So, yeah, just to go on that time, I mean, this is my first DJ showcase this weekend, and let me tell you, it was freaking brutal, dude.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy, right?
5 games in 48 hours, and we had a 7 a.m. game Saturday and Sunday. I'm like, we're 18U. We got to play at 7?
Yeah, it's insane, dude.
This shit. Oh,
and that's like a brutal. That's like a 5 o'clock arrival, if not earlier.
Yeah, we got there. Everybody got there at 6, pretty
still
much.
Close it was still close to
the still. But yeah, I mean,
the sun's
you're
not
up at 5:15. Yeah. Like, all right, I got to get up to make sure the boys get up. Because, you know, we can't be late. And I don't know the area. It's 20 minutes away. And, you know, it was a whole new animal this weekend. I'm like, all right, that one's down. Okay. That's what I have to look forward to now for this.
It's crazy, man. You know, and it's, again, like I said, you're a coach. You know what I mean? So it's like you're putting the miles on your car. You're putting the money out of your pocket. I don't know if you guys fundraise for that, but you're putting money out of your pocket.
No, not for that. Yeah, man.
You know what I mean?
No.
But again, let's touch base where you guys are going to Nashville in March, correct?
Oh, that's dope.
Yes, we are.
You know what I mean? So it's like
we're trying to fundraise for that, you know, a little bit, but it's a tough thing to fundraise for.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going away for a tournament and you want us to give you money for it. You know, I've been putting it out on my social media and everything. And, you know, I've gotten a little bit, but from family, you know?
Yeah.
That's especially when most of the people, you know, are not doing the same shit.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're
wait
a minute.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying, you know, we're looking at renting a coach, you know, and getting bus down there, which is like 10 grand just for the weekend.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. So we
get a
have
sprinter van. Be cheaper.
I like having control of my own destiny with my own driving, and if I want to go somewhere, you know. So I don't think we're going to do that. It's just really not feasible to, you know, have everybody leaving at the same time and stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, I think everybody's just going to drive on their own. But yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing when you're doing those
logistics.
Logistics and the money and time off of work, because you know you're gonna have a game on Friday, so you gotta go down Thursday.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so
absolutely,
it's a 12-hour drive from here.
At least it's worth it. Nashville is fun, but again, you're there for a purpose. You're not there for leisure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you take advantage. Even in Jersey this weekend, you did not have much time to walk the beach and the boardwalk and, you know, hang out, because we had late games too, where we didn't get back to the hotel till 8:30.
What town were you
up at 5:30?
They're in Point Pleasant.
We were in Point Pleasant.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and played in Brick. Yep. So
Brick has a good hockey program. The high school team is a pretty decent hockey team. They at least were when I was in high school, and that's, I'm a dinosaur at this point, so.
Yeah, the Red Bank Generals were there. Yeah. We didn't have to play them, thank God. They housed everybody.
My area is Mercer, and they have the Mercer Chiefs. I think they're still called the Mercer Chiefs. That was like the travel league. Like the Generals are like the travel league in the beach town of New Jersey, Red Bank-ish area.
Yep. Yeah, they were good. I mean, their team was a double-A team. They were there as a guest team, you know, but they just ran through everybody.
Is that what you guys are doing? Or no, you guys are you guys in the EJ?
Well, so we got in late, so we have to do two showcases.
Yeah.
And then we can count some of our DVHL games for loose games to make up for it. But we have to submit it pretty soon, I think, as to, you know, which games we're going to count.
So we've only
played one DVHL game.
All Downingtown. Make those Downingtown games your EJ games.
Yeah, dude. Gosh, the camp. Yeah. I feel bad for them. But, you know, they're getting a little better, you know, as time goes on. But
well, I saw
they're just new, you know, and they got mostly high school kids that play.
And Raul sent me the video of Cookie getting lit up by the campus kid. I'll send it to you. It's at Center Ice. He got lit up.
Head down. Poor dude.
Cookie.
Yeah.
Poor Cookie.
Yeah, he got jacked up.
Got to keep those eyes up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
It was not good. I mean, he didn't get hurt or anything, but... I mean, one kid got kicked out from there, too. Again, he was throwing punches at Josh. And
really?
He ended up... he got kicked out the first time we played him, too. So the kid's...
Unreal.
Definitely got a problem. But again, it's a parent thing, because his parents are cheering him on.
Oh, absolutely.
Kicked off the ice.
Absolutely. Like, it's...
You know.
At what point, though, does the league say, hey, this is like a habitual user kind of thing? Not a user, but he's a habitual, like a criminal. Not a criminal. That's the wrong word to use, but.
Well,
an asshole.
An asshole. Yeah. I mean, once you get to a certain number of minutes, then they put you on review and all that.
That
stuff.
Is 96, correct?
96 minutes,
we,
I think.
We know about that from last year. We had a cash review.
And what exactly does that mean? Like 96 minutes of infractions?
Penalty minutes. It doesn't matter.
At what point do we say you don't play today? Like 96 minutes.
Yeah, they get suspended.
That's a lot, man. Yeah. I think it should be less than that, personally.
Are you playing, 15-minute periods or 20-minute periods?
17.
17.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's
96 minutes. Oh, my God.
So we had a kid.
34.
We had a kid last year, Alan, right? And he's playing this
51-minute games. 90. I'll continue. I'm talking out loud. Don't mind me.
great kid. Oh, you know, we had a kid. His name's Micaiah, right?
So it's like last two full. Year, that's like almost Micaiah.
You let me talk?
Yeah, no, Micaiah. That's like two full games. That's like games of penalties.
Alan's like, wait a minute, that much?
Micaiah, continue.
So,
I'm sorry.
So we had Micaiah last year. He was new to me, and again, you know. As a parent, as a coach, you wanted what was best for this kid, right? So he came in and, like, everybody's like, oh, this kid's going to be an issue, blah, blah, blah. He was an issue in the beginning of the season. I threw him out of games before he got suspended, right? So he was taking all kinds of 2-and-10s and, you know, dumb penalties in the beginning. And, you know, everybody knows the story. Brian and I spoke to Micaiah. We had, you know, coming to life, talk to him, you know, like, made a whole 360 turn, like, for the better, right? So after this talk, he stopped taking really penalties, and we told him, like, dude, you got to chill the fuck out. Like, you're going to get reviewed. You're going to get reviewed, right? And what was it, Brian? Like, 2-3 weeks after that, he wasn't taking dumb penalties, but, like, it was a hook here, a slash
there.
Right,
right. Normal stuff.
Normal, but, you know, I got an email from says Micaiah suspended. I'm like, for what? And what do you think it was for? 36 penalty minutes and a review for the league. And we told him, and we're like, dude, it's coming. It's gonna come. And then finally it came, and he was suspended for one game. He came back, and I think he took like maybe two or three penalties the remainder of the season.
How many games do you think that accrued?
20. Like,
it was early.
It was early, Alan. Yeah. Because
before the holidays.
Yeah, I literally went over, like, Brian and I talked to the kids in the classroom before, and we went over penalty minutes. Like, listen, this is why you guys are fucking – skating, because of the dumb penalty minutes.
Well, and why we're losing.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, we literally, Alan, last year, we were on the penalty kill, and we lost games by 1 or 2 goals because of the dumb shit.
He's banging out, like, 5 penalties a game. Now, that's, like, it's not even so much the time. Like,
You get 4 in a game and you're out of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're suspended. You're out of that game and you're suspended the next game.
School me on that.
And yeah. And then there was times last year, like this last year was the first season in my life of coaching that I've ever gotten suspended. I was suspended
for penalties.
What, 3 times, Brian, right? 3?
It's like 3. That's at least 3 a game.
I got suspended 3 games for too many penalties. It's 12 penalties in a game, and the coach gets suspended. So I got suspended 3 times last year, and luckily I used them on Lanny's games in the morning where we played at night, so I can sign off on that and then coach 18s at night. But still, like the dumb shit that's going on, like, it's just, it's like, come on, guys.
And it's hard at this age because they are just testosterone exploding out of every freaking organ.
And they all
think that they're the greatest.
Did we lose them again? I'm sure they all think that they're greatest.
Yeah. And they also think, I didn't do anything. What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Listen.
That wasn't a penalty. Let's look at the video.
There's a kid on Lanny's team. You know, his name's Pop. Poplosky. Kyle Poplosky, right? And, you know, it's great. You know, Steve and Jared and I, always, when he takes a penalty, what do you think the first thing he does when he takes a penalty?
Absolutely.
He goes,
or he denies.
He points at his mom.
thing. I didn't do anything, right?
And what was it, a penalty?
And he still tries to get away with it. And there's times where he takes a penalty and he slips his way on the bench and tries to get away with it, which is
He's sharp.
If they don't see me, they can't put me in the box.
That kid plays the game like he's supposed to play at 12U. Like, he plays hard, man. He's a firecracker. You know, it's. But I wanted to give a shout out to, you know, the 18U. What, you guys went 4-1 this weekend, Brian?
4-1 this weekend, man. And our one loss, we should have won for sure. We had so many chances in overtime.
Yeah.
And this one guy just slipped past our D right over the blue line and sniped Cap right over the shoulder. I mean,
who was on?
He scored the game tying goal and the game winning goal.
Who was on D in overtime?
It was. I can't remember. I cannot remember. I'm not sure. Well, Seven Mick started it, so yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it was okay. Bennett and Kyle, Bennett and Nate. I'm not sure. Combo. I don't remember. That was Saturday.
Okay. Morning. But no, that's huge.
Sunday morning.
That's huge. 4-1.
Yeah, yeah. Big wins. Yeah. Lots of goals. Saturday was unbelievable, man. Every freaking player, both games on Saturday, was hitting. They were shooting. Every line scored. I mean, it was like, holy crap. Everybody clicked, scored goals, played the back check, everything you could ask for. It happened on Saturday, you know, in both games.
That's awesome.
So it was really good to watch. Good to see physical. I mean, the Sebi's and Mick, they are bumped, bruised. Sebi took a massive, massive hit yesterday in the last game, and kid actually got kicked out, took a 2 and a 10.
Really?
And got hit in the nuts because the kid kind of came in bent over. He was a huge, huge kid.
Yeah.
And just kind of came in bent over. Sebi had already gotten rid of the puck like 5 strides before that.
Oh, and
shit. Kid just railed him against the glass, lifted him off the ground. And, you know, kind of his cup
beast mode
caught him. Yeah, caught him in the nuts. And then when he goes to the ice, 2 of the kids from the other team start jabbing at him with their sticks. And one of them caught him right in the jaw. He's got a big old ball on his jaw. Yeah. He's like, fuck. Yep. Yep. Joey took a massive hit.
Where was the refs at that point?
Oh, they were there. They called it. And like I said, they kicked the kid out of the game. There was only 9.5 minutes left in the game. And, you know, they gave him a 2 and a 10. I was like, that's it? I was like, dude, I didn't even know the ref had his arm up. And I yell, I'm like, because I ran out on the ice to check him. That's part of my job is injuries. And I was like, how did you not call that? He hit him right in the head. And he's like,
he's poking at his face with a stick. Like, yeah, come on, like, what do I got to do? So next thing I know, I take my skate off. I'm about to go Dameron.
Yeah, well, you know, he's like, he goes, I did call it, coach. And I go, oh, you did? You know, and then I go back and look at the clip, and he, like, arm up, whistle, arm down. So I didn't see it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, all right. My apologies. Thank you.
Joey didn't break anything this weekend?
No, dude, but he gave us a freaking scare because this biggest kid on another team rode him into the corner and just crushed his chest, man. Like, I got out there. He was barely – like, he was like a fish out of water, and his face was all purple. Scared really? The shit out of me, to be honest.
Oh,
no, yeah.
Good.
So we just had to slow him down, get him to get some breaths, and finally, you know, he made it back to the bench. And, you know, Matt, his dad, came down and was talking to him down in the corner outside the rink, and comes back to the bench. He's like, I'm spitting up blood.
I'm Stop.
Like, oh, yeah, dude. I'm like, wait, what?
Oh, that's eternal. That's not good.
Yeah, it's not a lot, but, and he goes, but I feel fine. Like, nothing hurts or anything like that. And I think what it was like snot from his nose.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Everybody busted his nose up. Yeah. Now.
Yeah. Or maybe a little vessel or something, but it went away by the time we left the rink. So I'm like, keep an eye on it, you know? So, and he got hit in the shoulder again.
Unreal.
The same one that popped out last year.
Yeah.
So he was nervous about that. So he sat out, half of one of our games. But no, he survived. He scored this weekend.
That's good. Yeah, he said he had 2 goals, right? He had 2 goals or 1?
I think he just had 1.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Kyler Lentz, he had 4 goals and 3 assists.
I saw.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, man, everybody freaking scored this weekend. I think it was good. Yeah.
That's good. And then I wanted to give a shout out to the 12U team, the 12U AA team, man. They've been on fire. They're 8-1 in EJ and 3-1 in DVHL right now. They just
nice.
They're playing really good hockey, man. Everybody from, you know,
Link is holding those pipes up.
Dude, let me tell you something.
The kid's awesome.
Lanny and I, we went down with the Bames down to Maryland yesterday for the game against Howard, right? And I said to his dad, Brian, I said, dude, and his mom, Michelle, I said, your son is like unlike any goalie I've ever coached in my life. And Michelle's like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm like, that's a good thing. You know what I mean? Like, and they're like, why? They're like, why? And I said, the kid, like, is just full of fucking joy, man. Like, he does not get fazed by anything. He gets scored on, he comes to the bench, and he's smiling in between periods. Like, he's literally like a fucking 10-second goldfish memory. Like, does not care. Like, he's like, oh, you know, I got scored on. Okay. And he goes out, and he, like, shuts the door, like, the goal, we won 4-1 yesterday. The goal that got scored on him, the kid kicked his pad in the net. Oh. So like, yeah. So the kid's on fire, man. He's playing lights out, and you know, it's coming to those, you know, 18U warm-ups in the beginning of the season and practices really helped him out. And you know, at practice I just rip pucks at him and teach him his angles and stuff like that. And he's like a sponge too, man. He's got
you can tell he has the build.
Yes.
For that position. He's tall.
Yep.
He's going to be, you know, a bigger kid. And yeah, like you said, he's just always happy and smiling.
He is.
And doesn't let it eat him up mentally.
No.
Which is huge.
Oh, God.
In that position. Yeah, oh, my God.
And he's, dude, the kid's priceless, man. Him and Lanny, man, like, the shit that comes out of both of their mouths is like, it's priceless. Like, they're just, you know, they're always talking. They're always hanging out. You know, Lanny stays over their house. And I'm very grateful that, you know, they're a great family and, you know, look after him and let him come over and hang out with Lincoln. And it's just a great, great, great family. You know what I mean? They mean well, and they want their kid to succeed. And they're the perfect set of parents, too, that, you know, let the coaches coach their kid. You know what I mean? And it's great. So, but no, their team's playing well from top to bottom, man. Everybody's doing their job and, you know, scoring goals, passing the puck, making assists, back checking. And it's a great, great, great time compared to last year when, you know, we had the shit end of the stick and we only won 6 games last year. Now we have 11 wins in what, 14 games? 13 games or 11 wins in 13 games. Like, it's great. So,
yeah, it's definitely
a
reverse from last year.
It was
same for us, too. You know, gosh, finally,
yeah, right?
Holy crap,
yeah,
what is this? Yeah. We won 6-1,
Well, dude, even like Braden Soccer, dude, like. We played Saturday. They won 10-4. Like we scored maybe 15 goals last year in soccer. We didn't win any games until the end of the tournament. At the end of the year, we won second place in the tournament. It's like it's crazy. Like, and we try to, you know, we tell these kids, and this is one more topic before I let you guys go. Sorry. Is you know it's you know the first year compared to the second year. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Yep.
Parents are like, oh, you know, this sucks, blah, blah, blah. You know, we lost every game last year. How's it going to be different this year? Like, it's going to be different because kids develop in a year. Did it suck last year for 12U? Absolutely. Like, you know, Steve will tell you until he's blue in his face, it sucked because of the situation we were in. And, you know what I mean? And then we had kids develop from the beginning of the season to the end of the season over summer compared to now. And, like, it's a developmental thing for the year. Like we're like coming into the season, like with our foot on the pedal because the kids developed and learned, you know, by the bullshit that we were dealt last year. I'd rather kids learn by the by losing and getting shit pumped compared to like winning every game and shit pumping everybody and not learning anything.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, those are the lessons that, you know, that's a reality check.
Yeah, nobody likes to get shit pumped. You're not going to
win every game, man. Yeah, you're going to have seasons where it's going to suck and you're going to lose more than you win. That's just going to happen.
No, absolutely.
And especially in this sport, you know, in travel hockey, because the talent differences and the teams that are combined together and all that, all those factors, you know, that play a part.
They're also 12 years old, though. What can someone expect from a 12-year-old? Like, mm-hmm. like even if it were a musician, unless you're like some gift from the hand from above, not going to be a virtuoso. And then, you know, obviously growing, you know, these kids are in their teenage years, so they're going through puberty. They're one kid might go hit a growth spurt, you know, it's.
Oh, yeah, that's what you see big time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kids get bigger faster than other kids. And you're like, yeah,
well, look at Lincoln. Look at Lincoln, man. Lincoln, you see it, Lincoln.
He's almost
like,
6 foot, right?
Yeah.
He's
like, gotta be. Like, you saw
on skates or off skates?
On skates.
Off skates.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, look at the picture I put up. Look
he's
at the story.
He's like 6'3 on skates.
Yeah,
he's
look
12?
At the story. Look at the story I put up on Dusty Dimes or the picture I did yesterday. Compared to Lanny. Lanny's tall, man. Like, he's a tall kid. And just
he's Lincoln's probably 6 foot on skates.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. But, yeah. That's it, boys. That's 66 minutes of, you know, good content. You know, I hope the fans enjoy it and understand and parents listen. And, again, it's not that I'm, you know, all three of us are bashing. We're not bashing anybody. It's just...
They just have another place.
Yeah, it's the proof in the pudding. It's what, you know, as parents should know what coaches go through. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, again, the job security. Like, again, we don't come to your job and tell you what to do and tell you how to handle anything. Just don't come and try to criticize a coach, because if you want to be that way, by all means, you run a practice. You put a practice plan together and show us how it's done, basically. Makes sense.
Yeah, it's clear as clear as gold.
But other than that, guys, thank you for taking time on your Monday night. I know football's on and Raw's on, and so. But stay dusty, guys.
Stay dusty.
All right, fellas. Nice chatting with you.
You too.
See ya.